I am very happy to see you. It's a good morning. I'm excited about this being the first Lord's Day of 2021. And I guess I'll go ahead and ask this question to get started. Is anybody happy that 2020 is over? Are you happy about that? I was thinking about that as I saw people saying, I'm so glad to be done with last year. I'm looking forward to the new year. And the fact of the matter is, it's just a day on the calendar. And there are still all kinds of troubles and all kinds of problems and all kinds of things that we're going to face this coming year. But I can't help but think that as we look forward to the new year with hope and maybe with some good news on the horizon and perhaps within our sights, ways that life might become a little bit easier, a little bit more comfortable, that we will be thoughtful about what we've just been through. As a world, as a nation, in our families, in this church, in your personal lives. I want to share with you a passage here in Hebrews 12 that I've been thinking about a lot with all that's gone on. Look here at verse 11, if you would. Hebrews 12, 11, and listen to what the writer said. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I don't know if you would agree with this or not, but I think that could be a verse that might apply to our last year and this coming year. Again, I want to be clear. I don't know that suffering is going to be over. In fact, suffering might become more difficult in your life or in the life of this nation. And so the process of discipline and the things we learn through suffering might just be continuing. And in some ways, that's always a process of our life. Like there's just no end to that cycle. But what I would like for us to think about this morning for just a few minutes is, could there be a harvest from the difficulties that looks like this verse? Notice what it says. That if somebody will be trained by discipline, that there can be a yield or a harvest of peace and righteousness. Could God really make us better because of what we've been through? Could God really give us times that are more peaceful inside of us and in our circumstances because of what we've gone through? Now, there's a really important thing that verse teaches. Did you notice it says, to those who have been trained by it? You know, 2020 is going to be a complete waste for a lot of people. In fact, a lot of trials in people's lives are just a complete waste. They just suffer and don't get any better. Why? Because they don't have a spirit that receives the training from the difficulty. There are a couple of Proverbs that talk about that. We'll be right back here in a second, but look at Proverbs 15 and listen to these couple of verses. Proverbs 15. Verse 5 says this, "A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible." All right, so you have two options. You're either sensible or you're foolish, and the difference is you either accept what your father gives you as discipline or you reject it, and you just aren't going to listen. Skip ahead in chapter 15 to verse 31. 15:31 says this, "He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding." You know, that last verse in particular, verse 32, is interesting when it says somebody who neglects discipline or ignores discipline despises himself. I think this is how I would have thought of it. If I ignore discipline, I'm probably demonstrating in my mind that I despise the discipliner. Like, for example, when I was a kid, if my parents were trying to discipline me and I ignored it, It was me despising them for what they were doing to me. But according to that proverb, if I ignore it, it's actually me despising myself. Look, you can be angry with God, I suppose, about all the things that God's allowed to go on in the world. But if you're angry at God and you don't listen to the lessons that are being taught, you really don't despise God. You despise yourself. And that's a challenging thing to think about. So go back to Hebrews 12 and let's talk about why this verse is here and what the context of it is. And before we do that, let me sort of ask this question again. If God meant for the last year to be discipline, to be training, to be teaching for us, do you suppose there's lots of lessons to learn? Did you learn anything last year? Rick did a lesson like this last week. But what did you learn last year? I mean, there's some funny things, I suppose. Some of you women figured out what your true hair color is, right? Finally, like you know what your actual hair color is. Maybe you learned you don't always get what you want, like toilet paper, right? When you go to the grocery store. There's all the simple kind of fun lessons about like all the things we've been challenged with. I learned a lot about technology this year. Did you? I know what Zooming is now, and I know how to stream things that I didn't used to. I know how to order food online. That's way too easy, by the way. But there are like the deeper lessons, the greater lessons. Just for a moment, just in your mind, think about what some of them might be. Did our world learn anything from the pandemic that has happened? Was there a global lesson in it? Did our nation learn anything from the way that we handled all of that? But not just that. There were all kinds of other things that happened this year. There was unrest in our nation because of racial tension. There were things that happened within politics and governments that maybe we were needing to learn some lessons from that. Did you learn anything in your family this year? But more importantly than any of that is what it is that we've learned for ourselves individually. And I'm going to have more to say about that here in a minute. What is the context of this passage, though, this verse that we read? Go back up to verse 1, and let's read a little bit here. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. All right, now to summarize what we just read and the context of what's going on, I want you to notice that verse 1 said that we are running a race. And by the way, everybody in this room, everybody you know, is on their own particular journey. They're running their own particular race. In fact, if I was to ask a lot of questions about 2020, not anybody's story would be quite the same. There are different nuances, different circumstances. Some people had a wonderful year financially and with their health. I actually lost 25 pounds this year. That was really good for me. But there would be somebody else that had completely different struggles than you because we're all running our own race. But the fact of the matter is, whenever you're on a journey or running a race, look down at verse 3, there is a temptation to grow weary and lose heart. And so now we're being told in these verses, don't do it. Pay attention to Jesus, who already did this for us, and pay attention to the witnesses, verse 1, that we're surrounded by. Now, what's that talking about? Back in chapter 11, there are a whole bunch of stories about different races, different journeys that people took. Now, the common thread between all of them is the only way any human being is going to get through their journey and please God and overcome is by faith. That's the shared thing. Our stories are different, but learning to trust God and persevere as God teaches us is the thing that's going to make us endure. So that's the immediate context. But let's ask this next question. What if my particular journey is just excruciating? What if it's just too hard to bear? What if I'm not really doing very well as I'm going through the things I'm going through? What do I need to hear? Let's start reading in verse 4 now. Verse 4 says this, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." All right, so the journey's got hard. I am weary. I am in danger of losing heart. I understand that people have lived by faith in their particular life, but I'm having a hard time with it. What do I need to hear? Verse 4, first thing. You aren't dead yet. Read the verse again. I don't know what all you went through this year, but you aren't dead. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood and you're striving against sin. You're still breathing. You still have life. You still haven't faced the ultimate test of whether or not you're going to serve God. When somebody comes and says, you either choose God or choose death, you haven't done that yet. By the way, that's good news, isn't it? Like, that's a little bit of comfort that other people, if you go back a few verses into chapter 11, were sawn in two because they tried to serve God and not lose heart. So you're not dead yet. Next verse, verse 5. You also need to hear this. I need to hear this. I've forgotten something. If I'm struggling with my suffering and my trial in such a way that I'm about to lose heart or give up, then I've forgotten that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 tells me this. Listen to it again, verse 5. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him." Now, I want you to notice those two extremes. Anytime a parent disciplines a child, there are two extremes. One of them is a child takes it lightly. They laugh it off. Do you have a kid like that, Tim? Like, you want to bust them, and you want them to learn their lesson, and so you get on them the best way you know, and they look at you, and they smile, and you think, what in the world is going to get through to this kid? Like, they don't even seem to have any currency here. They take it lightly. They don't listen. The other extreme is that kid that you had that as soon as you looked at them, they melted as if life was over. Look at the verse. You either regard it lightly or you faint. And God says, don't do either of those things. If you go through a particularly hard time in life, don't ignore it, but don't lose it. Why? Next verse. Because it's a demonstration that I love you. Because if you weren't going through things like this, what it would prove is I don't care about you anymore. You know what I'm going to try to remember about 2020? It was the year that I was alive that God was desperately trying to remind the world that he loves us. He let people get sick. He let us flounder about. He let us recognize that we weren't as in control of things as we thought we were. And oh, what a blessing that is for a bunch of people who think they're ruling the place. This is the same year that we're talking all these things about going and inhabiting another planet. Does that sound like a good idea to you? We got some things to figure out down here before we ever live on Mars. I need to hear verse 4 that I'm not dead yet. I need to hear verse 5 that God loves me, and these things are this discipline is a demonstration of that, and I ought not ignore it, and I ought not faint because of it. But let me ask you, what did you learn this year? What was God trying to teach you? What shouldn't you ignore? And I just made a list of a couple of things that I've been thinking about. I don't know if this is true for you. Again, everybody's story is different. Did anybody learn this year that you really aren't in control of things as much as you thought? All the freedoms that you thought you had, some of those are pretty elusive. And it may frustrate you that you sit here today with a mask on. Is that frustrating to you? Ah, but you're free, right? Life is strange. And that might not just be like an individual or a national struggle. Again, this is a struggle for humanity. As scientifically minded as we are, as strong as we think we are, this invisible virus brought us to our knees. Maybe you learned in the privacy of your own home, as the days turned into weeks and the weeks turned into months, that you're not as in control of yourself as you thought you were. Your instincts to do the wrong things or to go to the wrong places in your mind. You weren't really in control of that. You were just distracting yourself with all the other busyness that was going on. Some people might have learned this last year that they really were serving God for pretty much nothing. That their religious activities were just habit. It was easy to get up and go to church. It was no big deal to sort of go to the Bible classes. But then, when it got hard to do it, what you proved to yourself was you weren't really in it. It didn't really matter that much. There wasn't going to be a lot of sacrifice that I was going to put into being with people as hard as it was. Staying in my Bible, keeping up with the things that we're trying to do as a family. Did you learn that this year? Maybe on the flip side of that, some of you figured out that you really did love God that much, that it wasn't habitual, that you longed and found every way possible to engage in everything you could. Anybody learn this year that their relationships were weak? Your friendships were superficial. Your family wasn't that close. Or maybe you learned the opposite. God disciplined and taught you how valuable those things really were, and you saw something about each other that you didn't see before. Did you learn this year that your life was too busy before? That maybe all the things that you were doing every single day at, you know, breakneck speed didn't have to be done for you to enjoy life. God slowed you down. Or did you learn the opposite of that? That you really hadn't been very productive in your life, and what was carrying you was the momentum of a busy society, and what you figured out as everything slowed down was, I better get to work or else I may starve to death. Again, there's all kinds of things we can learn. You know, as I watched downtown Minneapolis catch on fire, riots pour into the streets, I think we kind of had like a national awakening a little bit that things aren't as good as we thought they were when it comes to people that look different than us. And maybe this year something that we needed to learn was, as a church, we need to get better about those relationships. Maybe somebody figured out there really was some hatred in your heart toward people that didn't look like you. That's a two-way street, by the way. Somebody who, because they have light skin and somebody else has dark skin, doesn't like that person. Or somebody who has dark skin doesn't like the person who has light skin because of the history of the world. Or maybe it was the police and the authorities. And you realize how much you really hated the fact that they're there. I don't know. What did you learn? If this passage says, don't regard lightly the discipline of God, don't regard lightly the things he's trying to show you in your life because it's part of the way he loves you, then I don't think we should let this year go to waste. And let's look forward to the year that's coming to find the peaceful fruit of righteousness that we need to have. Now, I have a couple minutes left. But I want to read the rest of this context of Hebrews 12 because I think it's the part that gets forgotten most of the time. I think everything we've looked at here through verse 11 is probably most familiar. But the rest of the chapter is really what it's all about. So let's read it, and then I'll make a couple of comments about that. Starting in verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, into a blazing fire, into darkness and gloom and whirlwind, into the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of things which cannot be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, I don't have the time to unpack everything in that, but I will point this out to you. If you want to do this on your own time, that whole section there in Hebrews comes from Isaiah 34 and Isaiah 35. Those two chapters back in Isaiah, there's a couple of quotes that bookend this whole thing. For example, there in verse 12, when it says, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. That's from Isaiah 35:3. Or verse 14, when it says, pursue peace with all men, the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord, that's a lot like Isaiah 35, verses 8 and 9. That we're on a highway of holiness headed to Zion, that we belong to Zion, and that nobody who is violent, or in other words, not peaceful, and nobody who's unholy gets to travel on it. So, you're not going to get to see God if you aren't peaceful and holy. See that? And then down there in verse 27, when it talks about the shaking of the world, the shaking of the nations, that God's going to take every nation and roll them up like a scroll, and they're all going to be destroyed. That's Isaiah 34, verse 4. In fact, back in Isaiah, he was painting a picture that was something like this. Hey, everybody, listen. I don't care what nation you belong to. Here's what's going to happen. Someday, every nation will disappear. Well, that's not very exciting. In fact, that's a little bit scary, God. I understand. In fact, it'll kind of make your ears tingle when you think about what someday I'm going to do to this globe. You think this last year's been bad, just wait for the judgment. One of these days, God will consume the whole thing with fire. But if you put your hope in your nation, you're in trouble. Because you don't belong to a nation that can be shaken. You belong to Zion, if indeed you are Zion people. So learn the lessons from God. Let him discipline you as a son. Did you catch verse 25? Don't refuse him who is speaking. Put that in context. Go back to verse 5. Don't regard lightly the rebuke of God. If God's talking to you, listen. Because one of these days, this is for real, one of these days, we are all we will ever have. God's people, his church, his Zion. Those of us that make it through, that's all we'll ever have. I hope this year is good. But I hope what you'll recognize as we end this lesson is even if this year is extraordinarily challenging, even more so than last year, it's still a good year. Because God loves us. And he allows us to be part of his kingdom that will never go away. And so while everything else around us is shaking, we need to remember that Zion is not. And that every lesson that we learn is a demonstration of God's love. And there is a peaceful fruit of righteousness that comes if we will be trained by it. Thanks for your attention. We're going to sing a song that's meant to encourage you. If you need to come to God, if you need prayer,